Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It Podcast with Brittany Page and Jesse Dollimore.
Welcome to Ye Old I Doubt It Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Dollimore, joined today by the lovely, talented, and scholarly Brittany Page for this 938th installment.
So we have some clips for the show, but this is going to be kind of talking through what this first week has been like. Donald Trump is president again.
Wait, what?
Yeah. And it's been very terrible, very difficult. It's been rough, and we have been working almost nonstop. And it started with the inauguration events. We actually were on the ground. We went down there for the 2 days. We were talking to Trump supporters for Jesse's YouTube channel, filming some stuff for Jesse's YouTube channel. You may or may not have seen some of those videos. If you haven't, then go and check them out. And I guess maybe we'll just start there. How was it to be on the ground talking to Trump supporters during the inauguration events?
Is that you asking me, or is that you explaining what we'll be doing in this segment?
It was a question.
You know how we talk about the Adam Johnson's piece about the tyranny of the not surprised guy?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't want to be that guy. You know, oftentimes when you post something online, or you tweet something, or you post something on Facebook, whatever, and people are like, "Are you surprised by this?"
Mm-hmm.
Like the least contributive reaction of all time.
The most maddening thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I would almost rather have someone say something like horrific to me than read, "Is anyone surprised by this?"
Yeah.
I cannot handle it.
Yeah, I realize we don't have to dive deep into this, but I realize that people sometimes, like, they want to contribute, but they're so frustrated that that's all that comes out. So sometimes I get it. But so I don't want to be that guy, the not surprised guy. But there's a difference between being surprised by something and then still being shocked because, you know, antisocial behavior is shocking. It's not a fucking surprising thing, but you should be you should maintain your shock
mm-hmm.
at things that you're not surprised by.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I was shocked by, because I don't interact with Trump supporters. I don't interact with fucking racists. I've long and even been criticized by some that I don't break bread with racists. So there's not a lot of interactions with these people. And the thing I was shocked by is that it's wholesale alternate reality for these people. Absolutely checked out. I don't think we met a single person that when January 6th came up as a topic that I brought up because I want to talk about the attempt to end democracy in America. I don't think one person thought it was a violent event. And then you were watching a Jordan Klepper video today, this
mm-hmm,
morning,
mm-hmm.
and he was showing them pictures of the horrific violence, and they were like, "Wait, this happened at the Capitol on January 6th." They don't call it an insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, "Whoa!" And Jordan actually asked him, "What news do you consume?" He goes, "Oh, all conservative."
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just missed this.
Mm-hmm.
And among other things that we talked about, but it's they've suspended rational thought, and then whatever Donald Trump says, they take as their new reality.
Mm-hmm.
It was shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how about you?
We got into a few hairy situations, at least one straight up physical altercation.
I only put my hands on one dude.
And it So some of it was a little bit difficult because things would get hostile for sure. And we weren't down there with any kind of bodyguard. In fact, I guess I was your bodyguard.
Yeah, that's how it ended up. Well, I think what happens is they're ready for just like, hi, I'm a journalist. Let me just get your unfiltered opinion. I'm not going to push back at all. And then when I push back and correct them on what insane, easy to verify things, they were, what? Like, one guy was like, what's happening right now? Why are you arguing with me? Mm-hmm. I thought you were a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking weird. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so one thing that stands out for me is that, you know, I get a lot of hateful comments from Trump supporters online and, you know, your body, my choice, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. And none of that happened. None of that happened to me, to my face. And so it was kind of like testing a theory in real time of what we always say, what people who are in this space always say about hateful comments is that people would never say it to your face. Now, I will qualify this and say very obviously that there are dangerous and unhinged people who would no doubt have no problem being violent and saying vitriolic things to my face. It just didn't happen. So what I'm saying is the majority of these people are not ultimately going to say what they would behind their keyboard when they feel like a tough guy. And part of what is alarming right now is that DC is changing because of the Trump administration, because of the pardons for the January Sixers. Many of them were in the DC jail. And now they're out in the streets. The Proud Boys are marching in the streets. They were recruiting in front of Union Station. Patriot Front was marching at the March for Life yesterday, recruiting in front of the Washington Monument.
The same group that Republicans used to call feds, but then it's a little crickety, if you know what I mean. Pretty silent from the Republicans now when the feds are Donald Trump. They can't say that Donald Trump is doing some false flag fed operation with this false Nazi group when they're... they're just fucking Nazis marching through the streets of the nation's capital.
Yeah, and so at one of the days that we were there, the Proud Boys showed up and they were marching.
Yeah.
And I, you know, shit-talked them and recorded a video of it. And I would maybe think twice about that now, to be honest with you, because of the January 6th pardons.
Well, that was pre-pardon. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Post-pardon, these people have been emboldened. It tells them that they can engage in acts of violence and get away with it.
I mean, ultimately, they've been deputized as Donald Trump's private 1,600, 2,000-person armed, unhinged militia group. Who are animated by the promise of a pardon if they do something violent.
Right. So I think, and also that was the goal probably with doing this, is to have the opposition who would meet them in the streets be afraid. And I guess we've been asking this question behind the scenes. I want to ask it here on the show and see what anyone has been hearing or what they know. Where is Antifa?
Yeah.
Where is Antifa? Because Patriot Front is out here marching in the streets of D.C., recruiting.
Right.
The Proud Boys are out here in front of Union Station marching, recruiting. What is going on?
Yeah, it bothers me a lot because I had high hopes that there would be actual resistance, meeting their level of resistance with resistance, that level. And like, were these Antifa types, these black bloc, were they just like disaffected youth who wanted to mix it up and get in a have some antisocial fights? Is that what it was? Were they the liberal or leftist version of what the Proud Boys are on the right? Is that what they were? Because where the fuck are they now? These same people who said, you know, no peace for Nazis, it's okay to punch a Nazi, the only Nazi is a good the only good Nazi is a dead fucking Nazi. Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. And I've been struggling because I have to stay connected to the news because of what we do. And so I also would feel more stress not knowing what's going on than I do knowing what's going on. And it's this balance, right, of trying to find the space where you are not hopeless about the future. And some of the roadblocks that we knew would be put up have been put up, right? Attorneys general across the country sued about the birthright citizenship, Donald Trump's attempts to end birthright citizenship. A judge put a pause on it.
Yeah, the move that the judge called, quote unquote, blatantly unconstitutional.
And I know people would say in response to this, some people would say in response to this, okay, great, it's on pause. When things get to the Supreme Court, it's done, right? There's paths that you can take here to get to hopelessness.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know how that helps anyone, you know? And we've been thinking about ways to... We're going to create a resource page on our website, resources for immigration support, resources for abortion information. We're going to have different sections. We're going to be putting that together.
And we're taking suggestions. If you have a suggestion for an element of that, abortion, immigration, what other resistance or giving comfort to different populations can we put up there?
Yeah, and... I got accused of like engaging in toxic positivity with a video that I made this week when I talked about the need for us to find ways to take care of ourselves in the midst of all of this. And someone was like, you know, exercise won't cure racism and poverty. And I'm like, yeah, cool. That's like, wow, it won't.
But you know what it will do? If it refreshes you to keep you in the fight, then indirectly... Tangentially, it does fight fucking racism.
Yeah, and they want us tired. They want us to give up. They want us hopeless.
That's why he flooded the zone with hundreds of fucking bullshit things on day one, day two.
They want you to think that you don't have power, but we have power. And there were examples of it this week, not only in the roadblocks being thrown up, but also they couldn't even handle... A Christian bishop reminding Donald Trump to have mercy and compassion for other people. It has for days sent Republicans into attack mode because think of the power of that.
Yeah.
All that bishop did was remind all of us.
Not even remind, just plead. I'm pleading with you, Mr. President.
Well, no, it was also a reminder.
Yeah.
It told everyone, this man is scary. This man is not merciful. This man is not compassionate. He is not empathetic. And I'm going to stand here and I'm going to challenge him to his face when other people are not. And there's power in that. And we can see that based on how everyone fucking responded.
Yeah. Well, now there's a legit resolution before the House of Representatives, or it will be this next week, for a formal condemnation of the bishop from Congress.
Right. In service
to Donald Trump.
Yeah, these people are cowards. So we are all over the place right now, but it's been a long week. We hope that you've been keeping up with our various videos that we've been doing. And I guest hosted for David Pakman for Thursday and Friday. So I talked about the news for 2 hours on both those days. If you're interested in watching those episodes, I'm eager for them to post my Mark Wayne Mullen segment, because I'm pretty proud of that one, so I'll be sharing that one individually. But yeah, I think maybe we can take a break from the terror that we're experiencing right now and have like a little voicemail refresher that we got. So you remember on the last episode, we talked about how we were at that restaurant and I made a comment to the bartender when we were having like a great rapport, and I generally don't comment on people's bodies, but I decided to make a comment about whether or not he was an MMA fighter because he had a cut on his knuckle and he had a cut under his eye. And then when I commented on it, he was like, oh, no, that's my eczema. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I humbled myself by telling this story. Well, it's nice that there are listeners out there who were like, you know what? I don't want Brittany to feel alone. I'm going to call in. I'm going to tell her about a time when I did something similar. And that's what we got in this voicemail from longtime listener, longtime supporter of the show, Sam.
Brittany, this is Sam, longtime supporter of the show. And I want to make you, it's probably not going to work, but I want to make you feel better. One time I was shopping at my local grocery store and there was a worker there who was pregnant. And then a few weeks later, she wasn't pregnant anymore. And I said, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. How's your baby doing? What did you have? You know, all those kind of questions. because you see these people all the time and you kind of have some sort of rapport with them. And she said, oh, my baby died at birth. And that's the moment I felt like a complete asshole. And she was very, very nice and said, don't worry, everybody's done this. You had no way of knowing. It's not, it's okay. So another one of the employees there was pregnant, I don't know, a few months later. And I waited until that person was no longer pregnant. And then I asked a coworker of hers, so did she have her baby and is everything okay? Because the last time I asked somebody here that question, it was met with a terrible answer. And she said, no, that's fine. She's had her baby. So we all do things that we wish we say things we wish we hadn't said. And you had no way of knowing. And it still doesn't make you feel any better. But anyway, we all do it. Bye.
What an interesting thing. Because there's nothing wrong when you see somebody pregnant and then not pregnant to say there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Because it's not like infant mortality at childbirth is so common that you're like, oh, I don't want to risk it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it is interesting. What a bummer for, and I don't think Sam did anything fucking wrong. Anything.
Totally.
But what an interesting thing, this struck me, that this woman who just lost her baby now is in a position to caretake people who are asking while at the same time grieving.
Mm.
Like she's no, it's okay. Everybody's, you did nothing wrong. Like she wants to make him feel better while in the midst of maybe the lowest fucking moment of her life.
Yeah, totally.
Ugh, fuck.
Yeah.
I got emotional.
Yeah, it's definitely rough.
But don't let a moment like this, I would say, Sam's not asking for fucking advice. He's caretaking you, Brittany Page. I wouldn't let a moment like that stop you from sharing in the joy with people. Like, we can't just all be sequestered into ourselves and not interact in ways to celebrate. Like the woman who, under normal circumstances, would have had the baby and been thrilled and happy. And
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I think this is probably going to be like a personal one that Sam carries.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he didn't do what you did. You were just a dick.
Totally. Yeah. And I think there is. I think there is a big difference between what I did and what Sam did, certainly. And I'm sure that there's other examples of people saying things where you can't, there was no way to avoid what happened to Sam. There was a way for me to avoid what I did.
It's like during and after cancer, I lost a bunch of weight. And we had dinner with friends here in D.C. And it was at the peak of my having lost weight. And they didn't mention it. And I don't know how we got to it, but we were talking about how people are commenting on my weight loss. And they were like, well, we don't do body talk. We noticed for sure, but we're not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and then after that, someone mentioned it, and just as a dick move to make him uncomfortable, I said, they were like, oh, you've lost a bunch of weight. I'm like, yeah, I have cancer.
Oof. Oof.
And they were, oh, my God, I had no idea. I'm so, I'm like, oh, it's fine. You know, it's kind of a...
flexing that cancer
just
curve.
A little dick move on my part, I guess.
Well, yeah, and we broke one of our rules that we have on the show for Sam. So you're welcome, Sam, which is this was only addressed to me. And we still played it on the
show.
Well,
he didn't want to rope me into your fucking antisocial bullshit. He knows I'm a wonderful, gracious human being who floats through the world with love and light.
All right. Well, so here's what we
want. Thank you, Sam. We love and appreciate you, brother.
Thank you very much. Yes. We want to hear from everybody on how they're doing, right? How they've handled this first week, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what their communities are feeling, what's happening for you. We want to know what it's been like, how you're coping. Just, you know, tell us. So 657-464-7609, or you can send an email to idoubtit@dollamore.com. We want to take a moment now to thank our Patreon supporters before we get into some clips that we're going to go through here. So we would like to thank our new Patreon supporters, Mike B.
Mike B.
Scott A.
Scott A.
Bert W.
Bert W.
Brad H.
Brad H.
Walter J.
Walter J.
Michelle C.
Michelle C. Thank you.
Jinxed Ambitions.
Jinxed Ambitions.
Corey and Doug.
Corey and Doug. Thank you very much.
Vivian F.
Vivian F.
Linda H.
Linda H.
Valeria F.
Valeria F.
Jean S.
Jean S.
Will.
Will.
Burn P.
Burn P.
Eric E.
Eric E.
Pete D.
Pete D.
Jan J.
Jan J.
Thank you very much for your support of the show. We are getting the Patreon end of year gifts out on a rolling basis. It takes a long time to stuff these hundreds of envelopes, but we are getting it done. So look for those Patreon end of year gifts in the mail. And
if, when you get them, take pics and post them online. And
yeah, definitely. And also, if you're listening to this and you're like, wait, what's happening? We're sending an end of year gift. We know it's January. The
hey, some shit's gone on. Yeah, calm down.
It's been a long year already, and it's January. So if you didn't update your mailing address and you don't end up getting one, in about a month or so, we'll kind of check back in, ask people if they got them or not. If you didn't get them, we'll sort that all out in a month, okay? So just kind of give it a month for the mail to sort it all out, and we appreciate you all. We're sorry if we're a little discombobulated on this episode, if it feels like we're a little all over the place. We stayed up until 2 a.m. working on Thursday and Friday, and today is Saturday when we're recording this. And seriously, it's been a week of nonstop work and trying to, you know, cover what's happening without causing people to feel hopeless. So hopefully we're able to achieve that on this episode as well.
If you want to help support the show, patreon.com/IDoubtItPodcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stalemocracy. Facing down pessimistic politics with realistic optimism.
So the first thing that we want to talk about is that it took 4 days. 4 days for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, to detain a citizen.
Yeah. To detain an American citizen. I don't think we have to guess what color he was, and to call into question the legitimacy of his documentation relative to his prior military service. So he was a military vet, not that it makes him extra special or more important than anybody else, but it is a category that the Republican Party acts as though can do no wrong.
Right.
And they detained him for an unspecified amount of time right now, but law enforcement, jackbooted thugs of Donald Trump's Gestapo, would not let him leave, an American citizen, that they have no jurisdiction over because they are Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
And by the way, there are people probably listening to this like, wow, they're really focusing on the fact that ICE detained a citizen. And here's why we're focusing on this, because we all knew what this mass deportation thing was about. Donald Trump can keep acting like it's to focus on getting quote unquote criminals out of the country. But this is about ICE going into immigrant communities and terrorizing them.
Yeah, there's no way to accomplish the mass deportation without American citizens being caught up, and they're no more special than anybody else. But if they're willing to usurp, if they're willing to stomp their boot on the neck of American citizens in their quest to mass deport unlawful immigrants, they will do anything.
Well, and it's also the case that there are going to be undocumented people that have done nothing wrong have have not committed a crime,
without a doubt,
are working as hard as they can to create the life that they want for themselves and their family,
while simultaneously contributing to the American economy and to their community.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're going to be detained and they are going to be taken. And it's horrific what's happening. And this is the same week that Donald Trump was interviewed by Hannity in the in his nauseatingly gold office, Oval Office, and said that you can just, you can tell when immigrants are bad by how they look. You can tell. You can just tell by looking at them. What do you think he's saying there?
Yeah.
What is he saying?
Yeah, I wasn't detained. 6'3", 240-pound white guy who looks like a Republican. I wasn't detained.
Yeah, we know exactly what he's saying.
Exactly.
It's always been about racism. The administration is full of racists. They want to create a white nation, and it's horrifying. So this happened in Newark. It was a raid, and the Newark mayor came forward and made a statement yesterday.
In our city, without a warrant. They went in the back of the establishment. We believe that there were three people who they say were undocumented that they detained, but they also detained folks that were, in fact, citizens of this country. One person showed their military veteran identification and was still questioned anyway. People were fingerprinted. Pictures of their IDs and face were taken there. When I got this information, I was appalled, upset, angry, that this would happen here in this state, in this country, that this would be allowed. Since we said something about it, I convened my folks. I said, we can't just let this happen and not say anything, that we at least have to say something. And so we did, and here we are. And as a result of that, I've got a series of phone calls and emails that were not too nice. One of them says, oh, you're not going to stand idly by. These are dangerous rapists and murderers that the libards in this country have protected far too long. You want to defy the federal government? F around and find out what will happen, you little whatever. The problem with this is that none of these people were rapists or murderers or criminals. The problem with it is that ICE went in there without a warrant. And we can disagree on politics. You can disagree with me about the role immigrants play in the economy of our community. You can disagree with me about the fact that most immigrants are not criminals. In fact, they are victims of violence in cities. We can disagree about whether you support mass deportation or not. But what we must agree on is that the thing that separates this country from many other countries around the world is the Constitution of the United States.
And the Fourth Amendment of that Constitution guarantees, it protects our right against illegal search and seizures. It protects us and our possessions and our papers and our effects in our homes and on our person. And when armed agents of the state enter a business without a warrant and violate Fourth Amendment rights that are afforded to anybody who's here, the Constitution doesn't just apply to United States citizens, even though the Donald Trump administration the first time around desperately tried to make that the narrative. No. If you're here, you have the freedom of speech. You have the freedom against self-incrimination. You have the freedom against the government illegally searching and detaining you.
Yeah, and I just want to really emphasize that point, that it is everyone in the United States, whether you're a citizen or not. If you are in the United States, you have these rights.
Yeah.
And so I think this is something that is drawing people's attention in, actually. I think I saw a lot of people focusing on it online. That has been good to see. I'm glad that people aren't tuning out so much that, like, this didn't register. Like, some other things haven't registered, you know, that Donald Trump has done, or it's, like, kind of flown under the radar.
Yeah, I can kind of tell, this is very unscientific, but based on how well a video does, and I did a video on this that posted at 7 p.m. last night, and I woke up and it had 500,000 views, which is a lot. for an overnight video for me.
Yeah, and a lot of people who work in immigration, who are experts in immigration, have been saying, kind of predicting, that there would be this trend in the Trump administration to call what they are doing mass deportation when they are not doing like significant numbers above what Biden was doing. So, for example, the ICE Twitter account, the social media accounts, they're now giving daily updates about the numbers of arrests and detainers lodged. So for January 23rd, they posted an enforcement update and said 538 arrests, 373 detainers lodged.
That's not much higher at all than what Biden was doing on average on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It was hundreds with Biden, right?
Yeah. So in fiscal year 2024 under Biden, the average daily ICE arrest was 310.
So more, but it's not like Biden wasn't doing anything.
Right. And the average daily ICE detainers served was 409. So actually higher than the daily update there. So that's important to consider, too, that Donald Trump is going to be calling what he's doing mass deportation to signal to his supporters that he is taking an action that they want him to take.
Well, I hope it does turn out to be another wall that doesn't get built. That would be great.
Well, and all of it's a lie anyway, right? They select these cases of undocumented people committing crimes, like Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
And then they make it out to be a significant issue when there are American citizens that are, you know, murdering people and also committing crimes.
It's a conversation I had with one of those Trump supporters. I said that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I said, well, it would be, yeah, it's tragic that Lincoln Riley was murdered. I hope that you dedicate as much energy and time out of your day to talk about the tens of thousands of other people who are brutally murdered by American citizens.
They don't.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we, this is again why we are going to be creating a resource page, because, you know, the 2 days on Pac-Man when I talked about stories related to mass deportation or birthright citizenship, I would put up resources to ensure that people are able to, in their communities, share with people that may be impacted or afraid, know their rights, know what they can do if they get stopped by ICE. There are organizations out there that do community surveillance. So they have like hotlines where you can call and report ICE sightings, and then they can report that to the broader community. There's an account actually in Orange County that does this.
Orange County, California.
Yeah, Orange County, California. That's important to note. And you can follow them on Instagram, OCRRN, OC Rapid Response Network. And I'm sure that that exists in other places. If you know of any, please send them to us, because that's going to go in our resources on the website. So it's important that when we talk about this stuff, we want to be giving people information about what they can do, right? We don't just want to sit here and be like, oh God, this is happening. We want to be like, here's what we can do
for sure
to keep people safe, to help people to make our way through this. Now, we mentioned the bishop that everyone is attacking. They're calling her the woke bishop.
All she did was preach the actual words of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, woke.
That fucking woke Jesus.
Yeah.
Long-haired hippie.
just a nightmare situation. She's been getting threats.
Yeah.
Her loved ones are afraid for her safety. Because she said, hey, Trump, just try to be cool about everything. There's people
she
that are
afraid. She literally said, I'm pleading for you to be merciful and compassionate. And people want to kill her for pleading for mercy and compassion from Donald Trump.
Yeah, it reminds me of, and I don't know how many listeners will remember this, but my former pastor that we had on, he used to have a podcast, Christianity Without the Crap. And he came on, I think we talked about this, when he admitted to his congregation that he didn't believe in hell.
Right.
And he lost, I think it was like 50% of the congregation,
that
right?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Because they were all like, wait a minute, what? People aren't going to fucking burn? We don't want to be a part of this.
Why am I wasting all this time in church if half of everybody's not going to burn?
Yeah, we want to see people fucking burn. So this is kind of what's happening within the Republican Party. They're like, no, we want to see people burn. We want to see people hurt. We want to see... Exactly. We don't want this compassion. We want terror. Terrorize people.
She's not a Christian.
That's the perfect one. So, Okay, so this bishop, we want to play for you what she said.
It's impactful. It's like 2 minutes and 15 seconds maybe, and it seriously is a masterclass in compassion.
Yeah, it's like, it made me want to go back to church.
I did a video yesterday where I talked about an element of this, of them calling her woke and whatever. And then I read a couple of scriptures from the Old Testament, but I read two sets of scriptures from the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew and Mark. And you would think it was like some social justice warrior.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a great example of someone who faces down fascism, literally, not a Rob Lowe literally, literally looking into the eyes of fucking Donald Trump in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., and one, alerting the public, creating a beautiful juxtaposition of what exactly Donald Trump stands for versus what the Bible says, but also pleading with the most powerful man in the world to just don't be a dick, bro.
Let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land. May God grant us the strength and courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, and walk humbly with each other and our God for the good of all people, good of all people in this nation and the world. Amen.
I get it. Now I get it why they want her dead.
Jesus Christ. I mean,
why challenge Donald Trump? You got it coming, right?
Well, and what's so beautiful about watching the clip, particularly if you can see the Trump family while it's happening, is that they are so...
just vile pieces of fucking shit.
Sure, but they're also not used to this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're used to fealty. They're used to never being questioned. They're used to being told what they want to hear and protected from opposition. And so even the most minor, gentle pushback is like sending a knife into their back.
Yeah.
That's how painful it is. And one
Eric Trump was just shaking it, just fuming.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And J.D. Vance was, you know, making scoffing, facial expressions and unable to sit still and looking around for approval. Like, hey, get a load of this bitch. You know, like that's the attitude that he had. And Tiffany Trump was probably the worst in terms of how she also was looking around, wondering, like, what are we going to do, guys? How are we going to react? That's the other thing. They're all, like, looking to each other for, what are we going to do here, guys? How should we react to this?
The thing I found really common is they look to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, how's father reacting? Oh. Very weird. But listen, let me. I ran into the other room while that was playing.
It's like magic. We don't even. You didn't even have to tell us that. We wouldn't have known. Huh. I mean, I would have known, but.
Huh. Wow. It's really going off the fucking rails. So Leviticus 19:34, this is the scripture she was referring to at the end there. The foreigner residing among you. I mean, it's really just on the fucking nose, this scripture. The foreigner residing among you must, not you can if you like or you may or, you know, do what's good for you, must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. This is how the scripture ends. I am the Lord your God. It's not a suggestion, motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? This is Matthew. These are the red letters in the Bible. This is Jesus speaking. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, Jesus Christ, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And there's a bunch of others that I'm, who knew that the Bible would make me fucking emotional? And there's a bunch of others about rescuing the oppressed from the oppressor. And the Republican Party is the oppressor. They are the fucking oppressors. They bastardize their faith. They claim that they have deeply held moral religious convictions and they follow Jesus the Christ and they step on his fucking neck. They piss on his fucking head and his philosophies with their fascism. Because Christianity, when you read it from a Jesus lens, not a Paul lens, is a liberating ideology. Anyway, fuck.
Yeah, and one thing that comes to mind is over the years, as we have become more left, it's just kind of happened. And actually, I remember when, I think everyone talks about this, who was radical in their youth, but I remember when I was a kid and like my mom's friends would come over and I would like argue with them about abortion. You know,
you? I just can't picture it. You know, no, I don't know. Tell me more.
Classic childhood stuff, you know, arguing with your mom's friends about abortion. And I would always be told that I would grow out of it, right? They would treat me like it was some sort of rebellious thing.
Yeah.
That, oh, yeah, we get it. Yeah, you'll grow up. You'll grow up. And then one day you'll see the light and you'll understand that you're wrong and that we're right and you're going to get more conservative over time, yeah. You know. And it has just been the complete opposite. I mean, if anything, I am so much more radical than I used to be. But it's different now because I was ignorant back then. And if I had been arguing with smart people, they wouldn't have just been like, you'll become, you know, you'll find your way there, little kid. They would, you know, trap me in the holes in my logic that I was very obviously presenting to them, right?
Yeah.
Because I was ignorant and I wasn't arguing from a place of education. I was arguing from a place of, you know, having my heart in the right place and knowing where I kind of stood values-wise, but I didn't have all the facts yet. And now as I have accumulated facts and education, it's only pushed me more left. And we've gotten criticism for that over the years, right? That we have become more left and that we're too radical about this. We're too radical about supporting trans rights, for example. This is why we've been radical. Because this is what we've been telling you all, that this was coming. This was going to happen again. There was this force in the country that Donald Trump was tapping into that we need to fight against. We need to get people to have compassion, get people to have empathy, get people to give a shit about vulnerable communities. And if you're not doing that, you can be turned against those communities by having a strong man like Donald Trump come in and tell you that the problems you're facing are those vulnerable communities, are poor people, are immigrants, are LGBTQ people, rather than the fucking billionaires who were front row at Donald Trump's inauguration, who are reaping the benefits of this election.
Front row ahead of elected powerful Republicans. Like, they, it was obvious where the priority is.
And they were also allowed to bring their spouses.
Yeah.
Whereas the other people were not.
That's right.
They got special treatment. They're going to continue to get special treatment on the backs of the hardest working, poorest people in this country, the most vulnerable people. And if you don't have compassion for those people, it can be weaponized against you.
And it will be.
And it has been.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, we're yelling. We were going to try not to yell.
Who said that? I wouldn't have agreed to that. Who the fuck do you think I am?
All right. No yelling. Okay.
How can we even call it a podcast starring Brittany Page and Jesse Dalamore? If I'm involved, there's going to be yelling.
Jesus Christ. All right. Okay. So I don't know what the point of all that was. Hopefully it had a point that landed. I don't know. You guys let me know.
It's stream of consciousness
657-464-7609. Or you can send an email to idoubtit@dalamore.com. On that note, though, of course, as soon as Donald Trump took office, he is signing executive orders that say that, you know, the United States only has two genders, going all in attacking the trans people when they represent fewer than 2% of the population, less than 2% of the population. I think less than is the right one there.
Yeah, I think less than. Yeah. That's why I see it. Every time I see less than, I'm like, no, it should be fewer. And then I'm like, well, that person's smart. I must be just a dumb shit.
So those have been his priorities, right? The virtue signaling, the social issues, the attacking vulnerable communities, the racism, all of that. Even though people said that the animating
was the eggs, was the economy.
Yeah, the animating issues for them were prices.
Yeah, they're
things.
Doing the same. It's a fucking replay of 2017, of 2016 after the election. When, oh, economic anxiety. It wasn't racism, y'all. Listen, CNN says it was economic anxiety. The New York Times, Maggie Haberman has a source. It was economic anxiety, not racism.
You know what? Actually, I have another thing. So before we move on, I have another thing.
Great. Just lower your voice and make it calm.
So they pardoned.
No. Lower.
They pardoned. Shh. They pardoned.
Okay, that's
they
better.
Gave a pardon.
Yes.
To you.
Just chill.
They pardoned the January 6th insurrection. He pardoned the January 6th insurrectionists.
Yeah.
And Enrique Tarrio was released from prison. He's the leader of the Proud Boys. And he was recently on CNN to do an interview with Laura Coates. I love Laura Coates. I do like her, but I do not like the interview that she did. It's a 10-minute interview with Enrique Tarrio. And here's what needs to happen. If you're going to invite Enrique Tarrio on your platform, here's how you start the interview. You say, so you're making the rounds, you're going on Alex Jones, you say that you want retribution now that you're out of prison, and you're telling the media to not call you the former leader of the Proud Boys, so you're still the leader of the Proud Boys. When you got sentenced, you were like crying and begging for mercy.
Yeah, not like crying. You were crying.
And you
and
said
begging and pleading.
You said you're not a political zealot and that you're sorry. And you were crying. Again, emphasis on the crying in court to the judge.
Begging for mercy, begging the judge not to, quote unquote, take your 40s away from you.
And so help us reconcile the crying to the judge, begging for him to go easy on you and how you were so sorry with how you're out here now begging or seeking retribution. Can you help us reconcile that?
And she didn't do that.
Well, she asked it in the most polite way at around minute 5 of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it needs to be started like that. It needs to be aggressive. And if he hangs up on the interview, good, fuck him. Let him hang up on the interview. This is a racist. He's leading a racist, fascist organization. If you're going to platform him, then you hold him accountable. You don't allow him to come on and just air his grievances and talk about what he wants to talk about. Okay, that's done. Getting back to how they're not doing anything about the economy when they promised that they would. Again, all these priorities are about attacking vulnerable communities, and we're seeing that in, you know, the Lauren Boberts and the Nancy Maces who have made a scene about trans people in the bathroom, right? Nancy Mace started this saying that she doesn't want to have trans people in the bathroom on the Hill.
Tweeting hundreds and multiple hundreds of tweets in just a short set of hours, demonizing and attacking trans people. I mean, just, it's vile.
Right. And so there was an incident this week at the Capitol where apparently Lauren Boebert had gone into the bathroom and claimed that she saw a man in the bathroom.
Went and reported it to Capitol Police, to the authorities.
Started making a scene about it.
And then ran and fetched Nancy Mace to accompany her back into the bathroom.
Right. Apparently, they thought they had that they were trying to target Sarah McBride.
Oh, is that apparently. What has been reported?
That's
now?
That's what I've seen. I don't know if that's true. It's just all drama. So who knows?
Yeah.
But then they charged into the bathroom to cause a scene, and I think I saw Kyle Clark, that reporter who sometimes goes viral for being like a great.
He's a local Denver, I think, NBC reporter, I think. But he has hosted debates. He's been the moderator of debates. He has interviewed her several times. He really holds Lauren Boebert specifically to account because of his locality as a reporter in Denver.
Yeah, so this was a brief segment of him explaining what happened.
Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert is tackling a key issue driving the high cost of living for Coloradans. Whether the one transgender woman in Congress is using the right bathroom. Today, a reporter for Bloomberg News witnessed Boebert bursting out of a women's room at the Capitol, complaining to security that there was a guy in the bathroom, and then returning to investigate with Representative Nancy Mace, who led the crusade to block their transgender colleague from using the women's bathroom. The Bloomberg reporter said that Boebert and Mace emerged from the bathroom after concluding their investigation of the gender of the people within, not sure what all that entailed, but no guy in the women's room. Boebert sent us a statement about her restroom inquisition, saying it was a case of mistaken identity, that she's learned a lesson, and she said it won't happen again.
Yeah, her transvestigation failed. Also, not to quibble too much about the words he chose, but she didn't just go to security. She reported this to police. Capitol Police are federal officers. They are armed police. She's attempting to cause what could be harm to someone.
What happens when you make a false police report?
I mean, if you're Lauren Boebert, your whole fucking life is a false police report.
And actually, on this note, what happened to that handshake that broke Nancy Mace's arm? Whatever happened with that?
Miraculous healing. Unbelievable healing. They must have, like, brought in the woman who cured my cancer in surgery. They must have flew her in to do emergency. I guess she's in D.C., so they must have just had a helicopter pick her up. The doctor, the surgeon,
yeah.
and get her to the Capitol quick. I really fumbled that one.
You know what? I'm laughing, though, so it's keeping me at least somewhat happy now.
I'm not doing this for you.
Oh, okay.
I do this for the love of the audience.
I'm sure the audience was laughing, too. You'll tell yourself that they were, like you usually do. So we want to talk about this reporting in...
Wow!
God, all these drops that I'm going to have to edit. What is wrong with you? Stop doing them. I'm going to have to edit each and every single one.
I'm just okay. Over here.
Yeah, I know you are. So there was an article that came out from CNN reporters, Sarah Ferris and Lauren Fox, and the title is Democrats Grapple with Their Own Message in Trump 2.0. And I want to read a few things from this because this is a reminder to all of you to get acquainted with who your elected representatives are, who your elected officials are, and to be communicating and pressuring them regularly. Band together with people who live in your district who are similar, like-minded, and create pressure brigades on these people.
And this doesn't mean ignore if they're a Democrat because you think they're going to do the right thing because they're a Democrat.
Oh, no.
Because over 50 people voted for the Laken Riley Act, which has now expanded Donald Trump's police powers. They're fucking cowards.
Oh, and listen to this.
Hang on. What's the title of that? I want to quibble with that.
Democrats grapple with their own message in Trump 2.0.
Yeah, that presupposes there's a fucking message. Democrats are not the opposition party right now. They are weak. We had dinner with two insider Democrats yesterday who are not lefties. And they were like, what the fuck is going on with the party? They are failing.
Yeah, so let me just read how the article starts, okay? Quote, privately, Democrats have largely agreed it's time to end the capital R resistance to the newly sworn in president, okay? That's where we're starting.
Yeah.
You have? You've agreed to end the capital R resistance. Okay, let me continue. Then, on Trump's first 24 hours in office, he freed those who violently attacked police officers protecting the Capitol 4 years ago. Suddenly, the party's attempt to usher in a new era of receptiveness with the White House is turning out to be more complicated in practice. Just days into his second term, Trump is once again baiting his political opponents and scrambling their playbook in real time. Quote, the natural inclination is to fight, 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 said Representative Tom Suozzi.
Suozzi, I think. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know who you're talking about.
A centrist Democrat.
It's S-O-U-Z-I.
S-U-O-Z-Z-I.
Yeah.
A centrist Democrat who represents a Trump 1 district on Long Island. He stressed that Democrats need to be more disciplined in their politics to avoid the more reactionary tactics. Ugh. Quote, that's what got us to this point.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
So if you live in his district, if you're listening to this right now,
yeah,
and you live in his district, he needs to hear from you. This Democrat needs to hear from you and as many people as you know.
You know what I'm noticing is a lot of men in elected positions are being cowards. And it's the women in the Republican in the Democratic Party, like Elizabeth Warren, like AOC, like Jasmine Crockett.
Right.
Who are leading what is a resistance, are leading what is the opposition. And it's 77-year-old cancer victim Jerry Connolly, who got to be the House Oversight Chairman, who's like, well, we're going to do this the old-fashioned way, y'all. I know he doesn't have a Southern accent, but mm-hmm. Or maybe he does.
Mm-hmm.
But what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, AOC has been a bold leader in terms of messaging with the Democratic Party, representing an opposition, speaking directly about the realities that exist. You know, when everyone was trying to act like Elon Musk didn't do a Nazi salute twice behind the presidential seal at
right.
the inauguration event, when he clearly did, like, what are we even arguing about?
It just after all this time and they're still willing to give the benefit of the doubt. I mean, we were talking today earlier about the Lake and Riley Act specifically, to go back to that, and how Democrats worked with Republicans because they were promised certain things, you'll be able to give amendments or whatever. And then they went along with Republicans, just like a fucking cartoon strip of the Peanuts where the football gets yanked at the last minute. And then the Republicans, not only did they pass it through, but they made it more radical than it was because they had the help of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and in this article, they recognize that they don't have a message. There is one senior House Democrat that's not named that is saying in the article that they need to have a message. The party doesn't have a message. And we're just going back to shrill attacks. But in this, they also talk about how they can, like, go viral online. And they say, quote, in this article, one of the bright spots Democrats highlighted, according to a source familiar, was a viral video from the pandemic of Mark Warner making a tuna melt in his kitchen that led to the lawmaker being cheered and jeered by people who questioned his culinary leanings. Quote, the communications ecosystem has changed profoundly in ways that most people in their 60s and 70s don't grasp, one Democratic senator said of the message presentation. Senators talked about the need to repost each other's social media posts to try to organically get their message out, but they also argued they can't abandon traditional media altogether.
They're still with they're still with CNN that gets fewer viewers than I do on YouTube every fucking day. Like, that's where you want to go? CNN, MSNBC, these failing behemoths that reinforce the corporate narrative? Or do you want passionate fucking independent media creators? And it's not even about me. Like, Midas Touch, those guys, whoever. People who actually reach eyeballs and who are progressive, who are changing hearts and minds and convincing people of the threat that we're currently under.
Well, and let me just say, this also speaks to how clueless these people are, because AOC is not mentioned in this article.
Yeah.
I don't know if she came up at the meeting. I don't know what is happening in that room. But AOC is someone who uses social media effectively, and she's not trying to falsely engineer some viral moment about a fucking sandwich that she's making.
That no one knows about.
She goes online and she tells people that it's okay to be afraid and that there are people who give a shit. And that this is what we can be doing. And this is what we can be doing to support each other.
Yeah, she regularly goes live on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And like does these long form live streams.
Yes, she speaks to the people and she gives people hope. And she gives people practical ways to continue to hold on to that hope. And that's one of the reasons that she's so popular.
Wait. Let me, I want to drill down on this. So you're saying making a tuna melt isn't resistance? Listen.
Shocking.
Look, Brittany, I don't, maybe it's just me, but I'm invigorated in my in my opposition to Donald Trump when I think about sloppy, gross tuna melts made by an almost septuagenarian. It really just fires me up.
Yeah, it's going to get Democrats elected.
Wait. There's a mass deportation underway by a fascist authoritarian. What about Mark Warner's tuna melt?
Yeah.
That's going to help.
Yeah. No, what we need is a message to poor and working class Americans.
To animate and motivate them to activism.
That Democrats are different from the Republican Party. How are Democrats different from the Republican Party? When are they going to stop trying to give the Republican Party the benefit of the doubt and reach across the aisle and work with them as though they are being even-handed and direct and not hiding their true intentions? That's the messaging that needs to happen. Fuck your tuna melts. Fuck your little sandwich food. I'm going to share my recipe. It's going to be my mom's chili. No one cares. They want a message. They want to hear what the plan is here. And without that, we're not going to make progress.
Yeah. Well, we will. It'll just be in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? 657-464-7609. Of course, you can email a voice memo from your smartphone or a regular old-fashioned email to idoubtit@dollamore.com. I think we're going to leave you there. I would love a flood of listener communication about how you're feeling, what's going on. I'd love the next episode to just be listener communication. That would be fucking awesome.
Let's process this. Let's process this. And if you are in the Patreon community, leave comments on the episode. Support each other. Talk about what you're feeling, what's going on.
Yeah.
Because we're going to need that. We're going to need each other over the next 4 years.
And that is an area of it's not private because really anybody can become a patron, but you know, if somebody's giving of their money, it's pretty sure they're going to be more of an ally. So I think that's a great space is the Patreon chat where we post the episodes. Anyway, love and appreciate you guys. We're here. We're here for you. Give us those suggestions about what to add to a resources page. We don't even know what to name the fucking resources page, but it'll be prominently featured on the website, dollamore.com. We need to be doing everything we can to stand in the gap, if we have the power and ability to do so, for those who don't have the power and ability to do so. We'll see you next time. Brittany Page, I'm Jesse Dollamore, and this has been I Doubt It.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.